Turn with me to John chapter 14. We'll be reading verses 10 through 18. We're starting a new series for the season of Pentecost titled Empowered. And this morning's message is titled The Need, The Need. There's a story of a man who arrived in a Western town and got a job as the local saloon's bartender. And the owner gave him a warning saying, if you ever hear that Big John is on his way to town, drop everything and run for your life. So things went smoothly for the first few months until one day a cowhand with a ghost white face burst through the door shouting, Big John's a-coming! Big John's a-coming! And everyone scrambled to get out as fast as they could, knocking the bartender to the floor and running over him as they rushed out. The bartender picked himself up and tried to compose himself as he got up off the floor, and he was moving as quickly as possible when a giant of a man suddenly came bursting through the saloon doors. He was riding bareback on a buffalo, using a rattlesnake as a whip, and he rode through the door, splitting the doors off the door frame. The man flung the snake into the corner, knocked over the tables as he walked up to the bar, and then with his huge fist, he hit the bar and split it in two and said, give me a drink. Yes, sir, said the frightened bartender. The man bit the bottle top off with his teeth, downed the contents in one big gulp, and he let out a belch that shattered the saloon mirror. And then he turned to leave. The bartender said, would you like another drink? And the man roared as he jumped back onto his buffalo and said, I ain't got time. Big John's a-coming to town. Fear can often strike panic in our hearts. And when Jesus told his disciples that he was about to leave, that he was going to be put to death, their hearts were filled with fear, with sorrow, with uncertainty. And in John 14, Jesus encourages them and assures them with these words, beginning in verse 10. Believe you not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that believes me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So I said this chapter began with Jesus trying to comfort his disciples because he's just been telling them that he's about to go to the cross, that he's about to die, that he's leaving them, and their hearts are troubled. The chapter begins by Jesus saying, let not your hearts be troubled, and the word means agitated or anxious or distressed. So here are the disciples, and they're filled with fear, they're filled with worry, they're confused, they're sad. They've been with Jesus for 3 years. And they watched as Jesus turned the water into wine, as he healed the sick, as he delivered the demonized, and as he brought the dead back to life again. And certainly all of these incredible miracles were signs of even greater things to come. And they sensed that things are accelerating or moving towards a climax. And just as they are headed with Jesus to Jerusalem, expecting that everything is about to come to a head and Jesus would declare himself as king and establish Israel once again as a sovereign nation and they would rule with him, then Jesus throws a monkey wrench into everything and declares that he's about to leave them. And so their hearts are troubled, and to console them, he tells them, don't be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you in the Father's house. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But they are still sorrowful and shocked and confused. And it doesn't make sense. It doesn't line up with their expectations that Jesus would establish his kingdom. Is this the end of the road? What about all the talk about the kingdom of God? What will happen to his work now? How will it continue without Jesus? And these promises about a place in the Father's house, those don't do anything to satisfy their heart right now here on earth. They don't want more promises of something in the future. They had believed his promises, but it all seemed to be falling apart now. What they want is proof. So Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. What he's saying is, if you're not going to be with us any longer, we want some tangible evidence, some proof that what you're saying is true. We want something that we can see, something that we can touch. Show us the Father. And Jesus responds by saying, I'll do something even better for you. I'm going to the Father, and I'm going to send you the Spirit. And when the Spirit comes, you will do the works that I have been doing, and you will do even greater works. And if you ask anything in my name, I will see to it that it happens. You see, he promised in verse 16 that as he went to the Father, he would send them another comforter. And the word comforter means helper. And Jesus used the word another comforter because he had been their helper while he was here, anointed by the Spirit. But he used the word another, and there's two Greek words for another. One is heteros, and it means another of a different kind. And then there's allos, which means one of the same kind. And the word Jesus used is the word allos. And so he said, I'm going to send you another helper, the same as I have been with you. He's going to be of the same kind. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And this was a powerful and exciting promise, and it still applies to us today. And Jesus fulfilled his promise on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit was poured out on the not only on the 12 disciples, but on 120 believers who were praying and waiting together for the promise in the upper room. And Jesus continues to fulfill his promise today by filling believers with the Spirit. And as we consider Jesus' promise, we want to understand the reason why we need the power of the Spirit. And the first thing Jesus tells us is that the Holy Spirit will enable us to do the works that Jesus did, the works that he had been doing while he was here on earth. He says in the beginning of verse 12, truly, truly, I say unto you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. See, the point is, all believers will do the works of Jesus. That's his will. That's his purpose. And he begins that verse with the words, truly, truly. In Greek, it's actually the word amen. So he says, amen, amen. And the word amen means to confirm or to establish or to verify something as truthful. And since Jesus used the double amen, he was declaring that what he was saying was verifiably true, that what he was saying was actually the very word of God. He was speaking with the authority of God himself. It was the unfailing word of God. And as such, it is foundational. If this is the word of God, it is foundational. Whenever Jesus said, amen, amen, or truly, truly, he's saying, this is important. You need to pay attention to this. So what is it Jesus is calling our attention to? He's saying, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I've been doing. I want you to see, Jesus is not talking to just pastors. He's not speaking to just evangelists or spiritual leaders or some special group of highly gifted elite Christians. He is speaking to whoever believes. Whoever believes. He's speaking to every Christian. And Jesus expects that every Christian would do the works that he did while he was here on earth. If you claim to be a Christian, Jesus said, then you'll be doing the works that I've been doing. Now, he said, whoever believes. Believing in Jesus is what saves us. It's how we're born again. It's how we enter into the Christian life. So when Jesus says, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, he's saying that this is what it means to be a Christian. You will do the works that I've been doing. What he's saying is, this is to be normal Christianity. This is not supposed to be exceptional or out of the ordinary. You know, people get all googly-eyed that some particular evangelist who claims healing power is coming to town and thousands flock to see him. We're not supposed to be following after signs and wonders. Jesus said that signs and wonders would be following after whoever believes. We are supposed to be doing the works that Jesus did. This is supposed to be normal Christianity. If we are Christians, then we are supposed to be doing the works that Jesus did. We are supposed to be continuing the ministry of Jesus here on earth. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And what he tells us is that all believers need the empowerment of the Spirit to do the works that he did. So we have to ask, what are the works that Jesus did? What were the works that caused people to believe in Jesus? It was the miracles, signs, and wonders that Jesus performed. John the Baptist, when he was facing a death sentence, sent messengers to Jesus to ask, "Are you the one, or should we look for another? If I'm going to lose my head, if I'm going to die for you, I want some proof, some evidence that you are the one, that you're truly the Messiah that we have been waiting for." And in Matthew 11, 3 through 4, it gives us Jesus' response to John's request. Jesus says to his messengers, "Go back and report what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." Folks, these are the works that Jesus did. And these works were the evidence that Jesus is who he said he is. These were the signs that confirmed that he was the Messiah and brought people to faith in him. The words and works of Jesus were the Father speaking through him and working through him. Everything Jesus said and did, he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus didn't start his ministry until the Holy Spirit came upon him. When he was baptized by John, if you remember, the heavens opened, the dove, which is the symbol of the Holy Spirit, descended and rested upon Jesus, and a voice from heaven came and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That was the anointing of Jesus, the descent of the dove upon him, abiding upon him. He didn't start his ministry until he was anointed by the Spirit. And in Luke 4:18, as he stood in the synagogue at Nazareth and read from the scroll of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord God has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to give sight to the blind, to set free those that are bound." What was he saying? He was attributing all of his works to the power of the Holy Spirit anointing him. In fact, his very name, Christ, means anointed one. In his ministry, the preaching of the gospel was always accompanied by the demonstration of power in healing and in deliverance, which confirmed the truth of the message. On the day of Pentecost, he sends the same Spirit that anointed him upon his church, empowering them with the same Spirit to go forth with Spirit-anointed words and Spirit-anointed works to carry on his ministry in the world. And that's Jesus' promise in John 14. "I'm going to send the Spirit, another comforter. And the Spirit is going to enable you to do what I have been doing, to do the work that I have been doing." We've got to step back and let that promise sink in, church, because a lot of us are not walking in the reality of what Jesus said. But it's truly amazing when we grasp the promise that Jesus gives us here. He wants to continue doing what he did when he walked upon this earth through you and through me. Messed up sinners who have repented and placed our faith in him. How incredible that he wants to take this weak and faltering flesh and put his Holy Spirit in us so that we can carry on his ministry in the world. He wants to speak through us. He wants to heal through us. He wants to work mighty miracles through us. He wants to deliver through us. He wants to attest to the truth of the gospel through us by his miracle working power. Hallelujah. Folks, what we have got to get deep in our spirit is that God's will is not just for us to be saved and go to heaven. God has a plan for us while we're here on earth, and his plan is for each and every one of us to be empowered by the Spirit so that we will go forth with Spirit-empowered words and works to carry on the ministry of Christ in the world today, to do what Christ did while he was here on earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Jesus didn't save us to warm a church pew till the trumpet sounds. Jesus saved us to put his Spirit in us so that we could go forth and do what he did until he returns. Hallelujah. We got to get that deep in our spirit, because the majority of Christians today are not living out this truth in their lives. And the second thing Jesus tells us is not only that we'll do the works that he did, but he says the Holy Spirit will enable us to do greater works than he did. That's the second part of verse 12. And greater works than these shall ye do. How can we possibly do greater works than Jesus? Well, we'll do greater works in extent, in reach, in scope. When you think about the things that Jesus did, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he walked on water, he fed the multitudes, he turned water into wine. When you think about all of those miracles, you are hard-pressed to imagine that we could possibly do anything more miraculous than these things. But Jesus was speaking of quantity, not quality. When he came to earth, he was limited to a human body. He could only be in one place at one time. And he was limited to a certain number of years. In fact, his ministry only lasted 3 years until he was crucified. But through his death and resurrection, the same Holy Spirit who anointed him for ministry was now going to be made available to all believers. Think of it. Now every believer, filled with the same Spirit that anointed Jesus' words and deeds, that same Spirit would now empower every Spirit-filled believer to do what Jesus did. So his ministry would be unleashed upon the world through Spirit-empowered believers. So the work of Jesus would no longer be limited to a single geographical area. Jesus never traveled more than 200 miles from the place that he was born. His ministry was limited to a particular geographical area. But now, when the Holy Spirit is poured out upon all believers, the works of Jesus would no longer be limited to a particular place or to a particular time, but wherever spirit-filled believers are found through every generation, the work of Jesus would continue to be carried on. So today, through Spirit-filled believers, he continues to heal the sick. He continues to deliver the oppressed. He continues to confirm the word, the good news of the gospel, with signs and wonders following. That's what makes it greater works. What makes it greater works is that when you are filled with the Spirit, what God is doing is not limited to this church building. But the Spirit in you is empowering you when you go to work, when you go to the grocery store, when you go to your neighborhood and someone is sick. You can lay hands on them and you can pray for them to be healed. You can pray for those that are addicted to be set free. You can pray for those that are bound to be set at liberty. Wherever we go, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us, empowering us.
Yes, God.
To do what Jesus did. No limitations of time or space. We will do greater works in extent, and we will do greater works in impact. You see, Jesus' ministry was before the cross. He ministered in expectation of the salvation that was to come. But we minister by the power of the Spirit after the cross, in fulfillment of the salvation that Jesus has already purchased through his death and resurrection. Jesus' greatest work was his saving work on the cross. And the miracles, signs, and wonders were all intended to point to Jesus as the Messiah, God's Savior King. And the book of Acts tells us that when the church went forth in the power of the Holy Spirit after the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out upon all of them, and they went forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, that God was adding to the church daily those that were being saved. And we see the record of thousands on the day of Pentecost coming to Christ. 5,000 after the healing of the lame man at the gate, beautiful, coming to Christ. And every day as they preached and as God wrought mighty miracles through their hands, multitudes were coming to faith in Christ. And the ministry of the gospel expanded in one generation in ever widening circles from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. From 120 followers in the upper room to 3,000 on the day of Pentecost to another 5,000 after the healing of the lame man at the gate, beautiful, to entire cities coming to Christ as we read through the book of Acts. And folks, that is what God's power is still able to do today. That's what God still wants to do by His Spirit today through us. Amen. Through us. And He's doing it, particularly in other parts of the world, where they are allowing the Holy Spirit to move in mighty ways, so that there are over 600 million Spirit-filled believers around the world today, and great revivals taking place in various regions of the world. Folks, it's not programs, activities, polished sermons, professional music, or high-tech productions that make us effective in ministry. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. And the same Spirit that anointed Jesus to preach the good news, to heal the sick, and to set free the captive is the same Spirit that is upon us today. It is the same Spirit that is available to us. God has not changed. We sang it a few moments ago. I believe, I still believe He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. The same Spirit that anointed Jesus is the same Spirit that is available to every believer today. And that same Spirit empowers me and empowers you to do the works of Jesus. The same Spirit. And Jesus expects that as the Spirit works through us, we will do greater works than He did. I read about a little boy in Los Angeles who, after the disastrous earthquake in Mexico City in 1985, he wanted to do something to help the thousands of people that had been affected by this earthquake. When he heard that the damages were into the millions of dollars, he decided that he was going to raise $1 million himself to help these earthquake victims. So he bought some postcards and he started going door to door in Los Angeles, selling postcards for 25 cents each. When he came to one house and he made an appeal to the man of the house, the man asked him, "Son, how much money are you trying to raise?" And without even hesitating, this little child blurted out, $1 million. $1 million, exclaimed the man. "That's a lot of money. Do you expect to raise that all by yourself?" And the little boy confidently answered, "Oh no, there's another little boy helping me." Folks, to carry on the ministry of Jesus, to do the works of Jesus and greater works, that is something much bigger than you and than me. It's something we cannot do ourselves. But we have somebody helping us. We have another comforter, another helper, the Holy Spirit, one just like Jesus. He is our ministry partner, and he will empower us with supernatural power to do what Jesus did and greater things than Jesus did. And that is supposed to be normal Christianity. Normal Christianity. It's supposed to be what is happening through each and every one of us who believes. Jesus wants every believer to be spirit empowered, and Jesus expects every believer to do the works that he did while he was here on earth. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the power of the Holy Spirit, because without the power of the Holy Spirit, we cannot do what Jesus is calling us to do. We cannot carry on his ministry without the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord God, for the promise of your Holy Spirit. I thank you that you always empower us to do what you call us to do. And I thank you, Lord, that you have made your Holy Spirit available to us. When Jesus spoke to the disciples, it was a promise in the future. But on the day of Pentecost, it became a reality. You fulfilled your promise and you have poured out your Spirit. And now your Spirit is available to each and every one of us. Father, I pray that every single one of us who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ would have a desire in our heart to be filled with your Spirit, so that we can go forth and do what you are calling us to do, so that we can go forth and carry on the ministry of Jesus, not in word only, but in power and in demonstration of your Spirit, oh God, so that lives can be saved, so that lives can be healed, so that people can be set free, so that they can be restored in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that you would touch every one of our hearts with a longing and desire to be filled with your Spirit. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Folks, a lot of us here today, we would say that we're Spirit-filled because a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, however long ago, we got baptized in the Holy Ghost and we spoke in tongues. And that's wonderful. But that was just a doorway into the life of the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. A life empowered by the Spirit to do what Jesus did while he was here on earth. And many of us, though we were filled with the Spirit and we speak in tongues, if we would be honest, we're not doing the works that Jesus did. If I'm honest, even though we've seen people healed and set free here, it's not at all to the degree of what Jesus did. And I long in my life to see more of his power so that he can use me in greater ways for his glory and honor. And when Jesus spoke, he wasn't just speaking to pastors like me or evangelists or somebody with a television program. He said, whoever believes, he was speaking to you. He was speaking to every Christian. This is his will for every believer. And if you're here today and you would say, either I want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost because you have not yet been, or you would say, you know what, Pastor, you're right. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was filled with the Spirit. But I've not been doing the works that Jesus did. But I want to. I want to see Jesus touch through me, heal through me, deliver through me. I want to see Jesus glorified through me so that others will come to know him and to serve him. If that's your heart's desire, would you slip out and come to this altar? Some of you maybe for the first time saying, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be baptized in the Spirit. And some of you who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit are coming and saying, God, I know that you didn't baptize me in the Holy Spirit just so I could speak in tongues, just so I could have a good time in worship and in prayer. But you baptized me in the Spirit so that I could do what Jesus was doing when he was here on earth. And I want to do that, Lord. As you're at this altar, would you lift up your own voice? Would you cry out to God to empower you with his Spirit?